Blog Talk Radio.
Another exciting episode of IWE Professional Wrestling Radio. I am your host, Michael McCurdy, the creator and author of the upcoming Encyclopedia WCCW, and joining me, as always, right back where he belongs, safely behind the walls of Camp Sousa, right here behind the Redwood Curtain, my co-host, Mr. Joe Sousa. Joe, how are we doing tonight?
Yeah, we're doing really well, Michael. The band is back together. Yeah, I wasn't here last Wednesday. We'll talk more about that tonight. And also last Saturday, had some special stuff going on while on a road trip. Only thing I'll say is NXT. I'll leave it at that. We'll talk more about that tonight later on because we got some big stuff coming. And I assume Mr. Brian Westcott is lurking about. Is he?
Yes,
he is.
Right
Brian
here.
Westcott is right there.
All right,
how are we doing
Brian,
tonight, Brian?
How are you doing, sir? Doing really good. Yes, we're looking forward to talking some history later on. Give you a clue, we had one major eruption that happened 36-some years ago. But, yeah, looking forward to tonight's program.
All right, and guys, we have one other guest in our studio tonight joining us, the founder of IHWE himself, Mr. David Fuller. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just want to let everybody know, just a few minutes ago, our pro wrestling tee store just went live. So now you can find IHWE merchandise shirts on the largest distributor, whatever that word is. Young Bucks, Bullet Club, Andre the Giant, Randy Savage, Chris Jericho, on and on and on and on. The hottest wrestling website in the world, Pro Wrestling Tees. Now you can find IHWE merchandise on there. ProWrestlingTees.com/IHWE. Hey, thanks for having me on. It's always great to come back on IHWE Radio. We're getting ready. We're closing in on the final curtain on this wonderful, wonderful experience. And I appreciate you having me. We got a great guest lined up. So don't let me be in the way, Michael. You guys do your thing.
All right, well, we are going to dial up our guest right now. He is waiting for us here.
1-900-909-9900.
There you go.
Okay.
Only 75 cents a minute.
There you go.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome tonight's guest to our show. This man is a WWE Hall of Famer, an NWA Hall of Famer, 2016 CAC honoree. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to IHWE Radio our guest, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, this is Michael.
This is Michael. Paul, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing? I've been waiting for you all day.
That's what we like to hear, Paul. We have been very excited to have you on as a guest tonight. Joining me also on our show, my co-host Joe Sousa, Brian Westcott, and the founder of IHWE, David Fuller. They're joining us tonight. We will all be here to talk about your career and your CAC honoree and all that great stuff. Paul, we are so happy to have you as a guest tonight.
Well, I am so happy to be a guest. I really am. I do. I take a lot of pride in that. Because you don't do it to everybody, and I am Mr. Wonderful, and I am special, so it makes me feel great.
There is only one Mr. Wonderful.
I'm just joking, guys, or girls, whoever.
All right, well, Paul, let's just get right to the interview. your career, you started in 1976. You played football before that. You started wrestling in 1976. Can you tell us a little bit about the beginning of the career that led to such a stellar Hall of Fame career that you had?
You know, when it came to sports, I do believe this truly, that the good Lord made me to play sports. And my first sport was football and track. And I did that. I broad jumped almost 23 feet in college. And, you know, I could just play sports. I truly believe that God made me to be a sportsman. And I was. And I took it very, very seriously. Too seriously, if you want to know the truth. Because I would, if I wouldn't do something right, you know, after a while, you catch yourself doing something, you know, oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know, or I should have done this. And I played that game with myself a lot, and it, you know, drives you cuckoo sometimes, you know, and I took it so serious. And, but it paid off for me. And I believe if you're going to do something, do it 150%. And that's the way, that was my mentality. I did that. When I played ball, I played football the same way. When I ran track, I did it the same thing. So, you know, my desire to do something, once I started it, it was pretty, pretty serious with me. Because I had to answer to myself if I didn't do something right or I didn't think I did it right. So, you know, that's not good, though, because I really took it probably way more than I should have, serious, you know. But it got me where I am, and I thank the good Lord for that.
Now, how did you transition from track and football into professional wrestling?
Well, actually, it was several years after I played football. You know, I was drafted by the Saints, and I just got so burnt out playing football because I played it ever since I was probably 10 years old, and I just got burnt out on it. And I said, you know, I need to do something else. And I used to belong to a fight club, you know, back in Florida. They had clubs that there would be fight clubs. And I kind of got into that. And one thing led to another. And Eddie Graham, who was the promoter in wrestling in Florida, my father-in-law introduced me to him and said that, you know, maybe I try that. And he knew who I was. So about almost a year later, I was training with Hiro Masuda, and that's kind of how I started. You know, I started with Eddie Graham and Hiro Masuda, and my life, you know, took off from there, because if I loved a sport, I was going to play it to the fullest. And wrestling, you know, back in my day was pretty serious stuff back then. Eddie Graham and Hiro and all those people, and you know, they had some unbelievable athletes back then, but I took it to another level, I think, because of my attitude and the want to, because, you know, the better you were, the more money you made. And I was all about the money.
Now, we've all heard stories about Hiro Matsuda and his training methods on. What was it like working with a man such as him?
Wow. Well, I've never really You know, I used to belong to these, like I said earlier, these fight clubs and stuff, but I never really did a lot of the wrestling, you know. I mean, I could wrestle, but when I got into that, it was a whole new sport for me. And anything that I did, I took it so serious. And my attitude was to be the best. And I truly, truly tried to be the best. And I think, well, I know I did. I succeeded that. Because I take pride in that. Because I worked, I had the physical ability to do it. I had the body and I had the mentality. And I did it. You know, kind of like Steve Austin, you know, is a good friend of mine. Or Hulk Hogan and people like that, you know. I was in a different, athletically, a different group. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mr. Wonderful, this is David. I'm the promoter out here in Texas. And ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff is going to be here in September. You have a really rare, very cool opportunity to meet Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff in the Lone Star State in the fall. And we'll be talking more and more about that over the next coming weeks. I'm really looking forward to meeting you. I spoke to Jim Cornette this morning on the phone, and he wanted me to tell you hi.
Yeah, Jim's a good guy, man. He's good people. But there's another pro, too. He was in a whole league by himself. You know, he was really good. And Steve Austin, which is a real good friend of mine, and he's a Texas man. He lives in Texas somewhere, I think.
Yes.
And me and him got to be really, really good friends, and I just got a lot of respect for people that have the same attitude like I had, because it was all full blast with him too, you know, I think now if you look at wrestling, you don't see that anymore, because there's not a whole bunch of places where they can go and learn. And
right.
When I started, you know, you could go to every state and there was wrestling in it. It was that popular. It was big. And it's not that way anymore. So, you know, it's not like it used to be.
Well, Paul, I was a big fan of yours growing up. I grew up during the rock and wrestling connection. Honestly, folks, you know, Paul was a major, major, major part of that, vital to the success. I don't know if Vince McMahon and the WWE would be where they're at today, because that was such a pivotal moment, WrestleMania 1 and whatnot. When you were during that era, you were hustling every night, you were killing yourself, you were laying it into Hogan and Snuka and whoever was across from that ring, because I used to watch it, and you would, even as a kid, you would look at some guys and go, I don't know about that guy, but Mr. Wonderful hit the ring, you knew, okay, this guy's serious. And the action figures and the pop culture icons that you guys were, NBC Saturday Night's Main Event. Now where you're at now, and you have time to reflect, because you're not, you know, hustling every single hour of every single day, because you were about the money, as you should have been, because it's a business. What do you think about it now that you've got a chance to reflect, look back, you know, what does that mean to you? Because you are a part of pop culture. The NBC wrestling phenomenon of the mid-80s, along with Cyndi Lauper, MTV, WrestleMania 1. What does that mean to you when you have a chance to reflect on that?
Well, if you look at the names out there now, and I don't mean this in a bragging way, I take it as pride, and I got pride in myself. When I got into wrestling, I had the body, I had the look, I had a whole head of hair. And believe it or not, I had an attitude that I was going to be the best and be known throughout the world. And some of the promoters, some of them were jerks, most of them were. But I had a few that gave me the opportunity to go out there and do what I can do, and I did it, and it worked. And Hulk Hogan, you know, and Steve Austin's and people like that, these guys were similar. You know, they were in their time, they were big. You know, Hogan was big. But I used to play with him in the ring. He couldn't even, you know, it was funny because I'd just play with him. I could wrestle for an hour and a half and not even get tired. So I had the skills and the mentality to do so. And that's the way I played football. That's the only way I knew, is to give the people their money's worth. And I truly tried to do that, whether a promoter liked it or not, because I didn't like all the promoters I worked for, and they probably didn't like me because I didn't kiss their ass. That's the way I was. So, you know, but I'm still here, and I'm doing fine.
Good. Deservingly so. They should have loved you for all the money that you brought in everywhere you went. Joe, I know you've been looking forward to this since we made the announcement, so go ahead and step up to the plate. Talk to Mr. Wonderful.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul, this is Joe Souza. First, such an honor for you to be on the show. And also, it was really great to meet you at Cauliflower Alley last month. We talked for a bit. And,
yep.
And we talked a bit about cancer surviving. My brother, you know, he's a cancer survivor, and I gave him the message that you wished him well, and he was so thankful. He wanted me to say thank you, and he wants me to wish you well too.
How's he doing? Is he okay? Is he good?
He's good. Oh, he's good. He's good. He's completely cancer free. He's doing really well. Just taking it one day at a time. I mean, like I said, you know, when you go through a horrendous battle like that, you know, you tend to take things a little bit more, you know, different, you know, one day at a time, and enjoy life, you know, to the fullest. So he's doing really well, Paul. Thank you for asking, sir. I appreciate that.
Well, and I feel the same way. You know, this happened to me about, oh, I guess 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And, you know, I wasn't a drinker. I wasn't a smoker. I didn't do none of those things. And my father had cancer. And he had cancer, and he had, you know, where they have the hole in the middle of their throat. And, he, you know, he had it. And then his brother got it. All three brothers had cancer, and then I get it. And here I was, a guy that didn't do drugs and didn't smoke and didn't do none of this stuff, and I get it. So... is it hereditary? I don't know. It sure is funny. It was in my blood, and I got it. But who knows? You know, I don't know. I don't know. But it's a terrible disease, and I tell you, it ain't no fun neither. It's hell.
I know what you mean. My dad passed away in 1980 from cancer, from lung cancer, and he was only 43 years old when he passed away.
Bless his heart, man. Yeah.
And I'm 52, so I mean, just you know, matching, you know, my dad's age and moving on, I was like, wow. And so I mean, like I said, you know, it kind of gave me a certain, you know, look on life, and especially with my brother and all. So, you know, take things a little more differently and life to the fullest. But I got to tell you though, when I first watched you on TV, I was living in San Jose in 1982, and it was on WTBS where you were known as the Brandon Bull. You were in the 17 studios, and the great Gordon Solie would call your matches, and I liked you. I was like, I mean, you know, you're a young star. I mean, you had the complete package, you know, the body, the talent. It's like, wow. And, you know, within, you know, a couple of head turns, I see you on Championship Wrestling in New York. Now, how did you make the trek from down south up to New York?
Well, I had the opportunity to work for who owns TBS? Who used to own that?
Ted Turner?
Who?
Ted Turner.
Yeah, Turner. Yeah, Turner, and I was working for them, Channel 17 then, and they wanted me to sign a long contract and this and that, and I wanted to go and wrestle in Madison Square Garden and be the main event. So I said to myself, well, if they want me this bad here, so I just kind of played them both, and Vince McMahon won out on it because I wanted to go to Madison Square Garden and be the main event. And I did. And I'm glad I did. Vince took wrestling to a whole new level. You know, his father, Mr. McMahon Sr., he's the one that got me. And then, you know, I got to be pretty good friends with Vince, and one thing led to another, and then, you know, I just, quite frankly, they hadn't seen anybody kind of like with the attitude and the physical ability that I had in the ring. They hadn't really had anybody like that, and I got over huge, so it was huge. I mean, And I figured that because my whole plan was to be the biggest name there was in wrestling. And Vince McMahon gave me the opportunity, and I did it. I took it, and I took it all the way to the level. And I have no regrets for that. He was good to me. He treated me good.
Good deal. So glad to hear that, Paul. I mean, you had one illustrious career, and personally followed you, you know, whether it be the NWA to New York and all points in between. Very good stuff, my friend. Brian, do you have a question for Mr. Orndorff?
Yes, I do. First of all, thank you for being on our program, and congratulations on your award. Once again, at CAC, it was really great talking with you and getting to meet you and your son. And my memories, my first, thanks to George Napolitano and Bill Apter, that was how I found out about you through the magazines. But I was a big WCW fan, and I really loved your work with Paul Roma, and especially taking on the Patriots. And Marcus Alexander Bagwell, can you share about your time there?
Yeah, like you said, Madison Square Garden and being in New York and Vince McMahon, the Vic McMahons, and I knew this. I didn't want to be like everybody else, and I wasn't. I had the body. Quite frankly, I had the looks. I had a whole head of hair, and it paid off for me. And the people started really, really to either like me or they hated me. I could play with their emotions, and when you learn how to play with their emotions, you've got to study the power and find the weakness. And that's what I did. I watched and I listened to the people. I watched every match. I watched all the guys. And when I got into New York City, Madison Square Garden, they really hadn't had anybody in there like me, you know, with my type of the way I worked. My work was completely different, and it got over big time. And, it paid off for me. And I worked very, very, very hard for what I got. It wasn't given to me. They didn't have to do a lot. I did it. I did what I was going to do, whether they liked it or not. And quite frankly, it worked. I knew what the people liked, and I knew what they didn't like. And I could play with their emotions. You know, if I get your emotions, if I get you in that chair, I'm going to get your emotions. And I'm not going to do it in 5 or 6 minutes. I'm going to do it 30 minutes. And I did. And it paid off for me. I worked very hard for this business. Very hard.
definitely. And you've earned every accolade. You certainly have earned that. Yeah, I definitely remember the Clash of the Champions in August of 1993 in Florida, where Steamboat beat you for the WCW World Television Championship. And, of course, sure, it was great to be back in your home grounds of Florida again and get to work with a great guy like Steamboat, even with all the politics in WCW at that time. But you certainly proved that you were one of the best. You definitely are, without a doubt.
Well, I thank you, ma'am, for very much for that, because I wanted to be a standout. I wanted to be something special. And God gave me the ability. He gave me the attitude, you know, playing football and all that I've done and everything. And it just, I put it all together. And the longer I did it, you know, I got better at doing it. And I knew what the people hated and I knew what they loved. And I played with their emotions. And, you know, it's just like you got to study the power and find the weakness. And I did that. I studied the power and I found the weakness. And that's how I would play with their emotions. And when you do that, you got a home run.
Exactly. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm actually going to pass this over to David right now, because we have been talking about this on social media, and I know he has an announcement for our listeners tonight. So, David?
Well, yeah, like I said, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff is going to return to Texas this coming September for an IHWE event, Iconic Heroes of Wrestling Excellence, and I can't think of a more iconic hero than Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, and he's going to return to Texas, and it's going to be our 80s theme show where we kind of kick back to the 80s for our fans. Wear your 80s clothes, and we'll have raisin singing songs and kooky-looking sunglasses and all kinds of stuff. But, no, we're really excited to welcome Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, not only as our guest that evening, but he is also going to be the 2016 inductee into the Southern Wrestling Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame that has welcomed the likes of Bruiser Brody, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, Stan the Lariat Hansen, to name a few. Mr. Wonderful is going to join that elite list of all the wrestling he's done here in the South, and we're really looking forward to it. So he will be here September 17th. At our event in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can meet Mr. Wonderful. We will have information about that on IHWE social media over the upcoming weeks. We're really excited about it. And, yeah, it's going to be a pleasure to meet you, sir. I've heard so much good things about you. I was just on the phone with James Beard yesterday, and he works with us. He's a Hall of Famer, and he can't wait to see you again in September. And it's just going to be really cool to see you. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'll be there, what, the 16th through the 18th? I think that's what it is. So I'll be there. I'm gonna do signing autographs. I know Texas. And I like Texas. I've been there before. I've been there quite a few times. And it's a great, and I mean this. I'm not just saying it. I mean it. And I have a good friend that lives in Texas. Janie Engel, I believe, lives in Texas, or used to. But Steve Austin and people like that, they talked about Texas all the time, and I liked it there, quite frankly. And, you know, I'm looking very forward to it, very much. And I hope the crowd is going to be there. I hope, because I'll sign autographs. I'll hug and kiss the kids, and if it don't make no difference, I'll do it.
Well, I went yesterday. I have a 2-year-old, and I went yesterday, and I bought 2 Mr. Wonderful action figures from Walmart. And we had to open one of them because he wanted to play with it right away. And we're gonna keep wrapped so he can get an autograph from you. So I'll make sure he brings it that weekend so he can see you and hold it for a picture. I think that'll be great.
You bring them both. I'll sign them both. And those people buy the pictures or whatever. I'll sign everything, and I'll stay there until they all get done. I'm that way.
Well, Very good, Mr. Wonderful. We look forward to it. We had Jim Cornette down here in March.
Good guy.
Good guy. Yeah, yeah. We bring you legends like Mr. Wonderful, and we create memories, and that's what we're looking to do. So this is going to be great. Michael, man, I appreciate the time. I'm going to jump off here and get my little one ready for bed. But, Paul, I will talk to you soon. I will see you in September. And, guys, thank you for having me tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me and sharing your emotions with me. That's pretty cool. I like it.
I appreciate it. Michael, go ahead and take over, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, Paul, David brought it up in his first question. You know, we all know main event, WrestleMania, you, Roddy Piper versus Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. They just released a book this past week called 100 Greatest Matches in WWE. That match is listed as one of the 100 greatest matches of all time, according to this book. Did you know at that time that you guys were going to create such an iconic moment? And did you know that going into the very first WrestleMania, that 32 years later, it would be such the grand stage that it is now?
Yes, I do. Because you got to have the right chemicals. You know, the chemicals is everything, right? And if you got the right chemicals, things can go good. And I can tell you this, I was so wound up about this that there was no way in hell that I was going to let it be a flop. It wasn't going to be a flop. If I had to go out there and flip and flop all over the place, I would. And I did. I did what I had to do twice as much, because that's the mentality I have, is to give those people their money's worth. And I truly, truly did that. With Eddie Graham taught me that. Hiro Masuda taught me that's what you got to do. And I was the type of guy that I ain't bragging, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a whole different ballgame of type of wrestler that got into this business. You know, I was drafted in the NFL, played football, all of that, All-American. They never really, I don't think they really had somebody in there with the mentality that I had. And I took it so serious that it kept me up at night. And then the next morning, I took it that serious. That's how much I loved it. I loved professional wrestling. And it had my heart. And once you got my heart, you got me. And I gave it everything I had. And I have no regrets for nothing I said or done in the ring. None. Everything I did for the people. Because when those seats are full, and there's 60, 70,000 people, and every seat is full in that arena, guess what? Somebody did something right. And I did.
Now, do you follow any of the current product right now?
You want to know the truth? No, I don't.
You don't follow any of the current product?
No. Not really. I mean, every now and then I'll flip it, and I just don't. You know, I got grandkids. I do stuff. I'm busy all day long. And I just don't, you know, I love the NCIS. That's what I watch every day, NCIS. I like Gibbs. Gibbs is a lot like me.
Now, do your grandkids know about your career in the ring? And have they watched Mr. Wonderful in his prime?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, they know me, absolutely. My son, I got two sons, and Travis and Paul, and Paul the third, and I'm junior, and then my son Travis, and their kids, you know, watch all the old films and stuff like that. Yeah, they watch it, you know, but they don't really watch wrestling anymore. They, you know, their dad's not in it and their papa's not in it. So we, you know, they got a whole new look, a whole new thing they do. But I try to encourage them about going to wrestling and being in wrestling, you know, amateur wrestling, high school, junior high school. And because I'm a big fan of that. And anytime I can help a school or a college or something when it comes to the wrestling, I do. And I do it quite often. And it'll come back someday. Go ahead.
Now, speaking of your sons, your son presented your award to you at the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion this past April. What was it like to be honored by the CAC and to have your son present there for the induction?
Wow. I tell you, I got, you know, I lived off of emotions, and I got very emotional, you know, then. And that's just how I operate, through emotions, you know. The emotions gets the best of me when I think about certain things. And, you know, I don't cry like a baby, but I do have tears. And I used to love wrestling so much that I'm sad that it's not around anymore like it used to be. And, you know, I'd love to see it come back, but I have no control over that. And, you know what I mean? So only control I had was when I went into the ring, I had the control of the emotions of the people, and I knew how to do it. Psychologically, I played with their minds, and I really did, you know, in my way, and it worked. And I'm proud of that.
Joe, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Paul, amongst, you know, illustrious, traveled the world over, and main event, not just Madison Square Garden, but the big event in Toronto and all points in between. Amongst the traveling and the intense action and the camaraderie that you've had in the dressing room and the fans, on a lighter side, were there any ribs that happened your way? Any that were, you know, fun ones, not the mean ones. Anything that pulled on you in fun, or anything that you happen to do. The sky's the limit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There we would. I was real, and a lot of people knew me that did know me, that I was a real serious guy. When I got into that building that night, we had to be there an hour ahead of time. I was all business, because I'm thinking of the people, and the people is what pay me my, you know, make my living. And I got to get, and I've got to play with their emotions. And I did. I mean, I really studied it in my own simple way, and it worked. And some of the guys used to do it to me, too. And they would do play ribs or do something, and at the time, it would piss me off. But then after a while, after I got, you know, I knew what, you know, knew what they did or what they, you know, tried to do, I'd think about it and I'd just start laughing to myself, because I was so serious. I took it, everything serious. And I don't mean this in a bad way or a bragging way, but I just haven't seen anybody that way that had those kind of emotions and seriousness when it comes to the wrestling. I don't see it. Do you?
Well, no. No, back when, and this goes back to when I was a kid, watching, as a kid, I watched the Shires promotion out of San Francisco, living here on the West Coast, and also the Don Owen promotion up in Portland. You know, our era, if you will, compared to today, no, once again, no disrespect, is two complete different animals. And
right.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing. That's my take on that one, Paul.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am. Everything you just said is I am totally with you because I think you see it the way I seen it or see it. And you don't have the Eddie Grahams or the Hiro Masudas out there anymore or the McMahon, you know, the way it was back then. I think they think just because it's on TV that the people are going to watch it. Well, that don't work that way. At least it doesn't with me. You know, if I watch a show, I don't just watch it. If I don't like it, I flip it. And I do a lot of flipping. And I like NCIS. Like I told you, I like Gibbs. I like to watch football most of the time, not all the time. I love boxing. I love karate. So any kind of sport, you know, that it's physical, I like. And it's not that, to me, there's not that much on TV anymore, you know, that I like. Only a few things. And
With boxing, do you watch boxing mentally, or is there a particular fighter that you follow that you enjoy to watch?
Oh, yeah, I love boxing. I love boxing. Absolutely. I love Cassius Clay. You know, I loved him back in his day. You know, he was the Mr. Wonderful of boxing back then. You know, when he did his thing and the way he talked and everything, he got a lot of that from the wrestling. And the way he did his interviews and everything. And, you know, yeah, I like it. I like it. You got to have personality no matter what kind of sport you do. If you find that person that's got a personality that is different than everybody else's, then he's probably going to stand out and if he's good at what he does. And that's kind of the way I took it, you know. I studied the power, and I found the weakness. And that's what I did. I studied the power. I found out what they liked and what they didn't like. And then I would give them more of what they didn't like than what they did like. I'd give them to that one that made that big comeback, then they would go crazy. And I've had bottles thrown at me when I was a heel. I've had darts thrown in the ring that almost hit me. I mean, the people just, when you play with a person's emotions and you know how to play with them, you got them. And when you do that, you're going to make money. And I was all about making money. And that's what I did. I mean, what I did out there was in my heart. And it worked. You know, it worked for me. I had the body and I had the looks. People couldn't deny me.
Well, yes, indeed, because in this business, you know, I've heard, you know, GPA Strongbow, rest his soul, as well as Scott Hall. You know, in this business, you can either make a lot of money or a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends. Now it's time to make a lot of money. Now, the one thing I noticed, you mentioned Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, which he's one of my all-time fighters of all time.
Absolutely.
All time. One thing I noticed you borrowed from his book was when you were working heel in New York, you would literally talk to your opponent while beating him up. I looked at that and I go, that is so cool. That is so Muhammad Ali style. I mean, and the fans, you know, not only the viewing audience watching it on TV would get pissed off, but the fans in the audience or the audience would see that, the live audience, and they would just get absolutely butthurt. And they wanted a piece of you, man. You had them in the palm of your hand.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, my friend. What did Muhammad Ali, fly like a butterfly or something like a bee?
Yeah,
what was that saying?
Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Yes, sir.
And that's what I did. Yeah, and I got that, and I watched him. I used to watch Woody. I got a lot of my stuff from him. I watched it back then. And you got to play. If you get a person out there, you get a movie or a show that they play with your emotions, you got them. You got them. And if you don't got them this week, the next time you come to that building, they're going to bring their friends and everybody because you got their emotions. And once you do that, you got the people. And I don't see it too much anymore.
Well, kind of a lost start. Hopefully they'll bring it back, I'm hoping. Brian, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. With all the accolades that you have won over the years, you've held a number of championships over the years. You've got to work with some great talent. I remember watching, and I've watched it on DVD and videotape, a great match between you and Ted DiBiase. And it was a title draw for the Mid-South North American Heavyweight title. Ernie Ladd was doing color commentating at that time, and that was just fantastic. And, of course, you got to work with, yeah, definitely in my opinion, probably the greatest manager of all time, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
No doubt about it. We're on the same page, young lady.
So what would you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember about Mr. Wonderful?
Well, you all are doing, you're helping my legacy by what you're doing right now. And to do these, you know, interviews and talk about what it used to be in the old days and how much you liked it, you know, that just, what that does solidifies everything that I said about the way it was back then, you said the same thing. So that, by doing that, I know that I was pretty right. I was pretty right about it. I ain't saying I was perfect, but I was pretty right about when it comes to playing with people's emotions. And once you get the emotions of the people that come into a sporting event and you can play with their emotions, guess what? You got them hooked. And that's what I did. that's what I tried to do. And it paid off for me, you know. I'm proud of that.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Yeah, making money.
Yes, ma'am.
And play with people, emotions. Definitely what it's all about. Go ahead, Michael.
Thank you, Brian. Paul. Since you've retired and all that, you're still remembered by a lot of fans and all. They still watch. You can go on WWE Network and see a lot of your old matches, the old Saturday Night's Main Event. You've been recognized by the WWE Hall of Fame, the NWA Hall of Fame, Cauliflower Alley Club. David just announced that in September you're going to be inducted into the Southern Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yes.
How does it feel to still be remembered and still be respected by fans that, you know, they were fans then, but now their kids are fans, and you're still remembered. You know, how does that feel to know that even though you are retired and you're not in the spotlight, that people still remember Mr. Wonderful?
Well, it's very emotional. You know, sometimes when you do something right, and you know that everybody out there knows that it was right because they either told you or they yelled or they booed or they threw Coke cans at you or they threw bottles at you or they threw darts in the ring. I had all that done to me when I played with their emotions. And when you do that, you don't have it. You got to fully play with somebody's emotions, and you got them hooked. That's what I did. I didn't care. I used to get in fights every damn night almost, you know, going to my car or going. It was brutal some nights, and that wasn't no fun. because, you know, you might get some cuckoo out there and might decide to shoot you. And I've had people with a gun before. And when you can play with people's emotions like that, and that's what you're trying to do, and once they realize that it was just a show, and they know that it ain't real, some of it was, then the next time you go to that building, there's 5,000 more people there. You know you've done something right, and you know the promoter makes money, all the guys make money, I made money, and the people left that building happy as could be and wanting to come back again. That was my whole desire to do, that everybody got their money's worth. And I truly tried to do that whenever I wrestled. I truly did it, and it may have taken me 20 minutes. It may have taken me an hour, and sometimes I'd take an hour or an hour and a half. I've done it before because I didn't care. I had the physical ability to go as long as it took to get to your emotions. And once I got them, I got you. It was that simple, and that's how I took it. I took it, you know, serious. And you had to play with people's emotions to get them where they would come back the next time you're there. And I just don't see it. It's all TV now. You know, I don't watch it. I really haven't watched it, and I can't tell you how long. It just doesn't do nothing for me. You know, boxing does. Karate does. Kickboxing does, but that's about it.
Do you watch any UFC?
Yes, I absolutely do. I love it. I love that stuff. You know, that's up my alley. That's what I like. You know, I broke my neck three times in this business, so I got nuts and bolts in my neck and everything. And I kept on doing it when I shouldn't have. And then finally the doctor said, Paul, you're done. And he said, Paul, if you go out there again to try to do this, you're going to either be, two things are going to happen. You're going to be in a wheelchair or you're going to be dead. That's when I quit. I got out of it right then. And I was done. I did my part. I regret nothing.
I got a message on Facebook call from one of our listeners. They'd like to know if you would be willing to kind of touch a little bit on the incident with Big Van Vader during your WCW run.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you want to know?
Side of that story. I think they're referring to a supposed fight in the locker room.
Yes, there was. When I worked, my boss said, Paul, you need to tell Vader to do this, this, and this. Because, see, I was an agent, you know. I worked for the company, Ted Turner, or you know, I think it was Turner. And
yep.
My job was to tell the guys what they needed to do that night. Well, he didn't like me, I guess. And I kicked his ass from one end to the other. And he's lucky he's got all of his teeth left, because I kicked him in the face about 6-7 times. But he had no right to do what he did. He was wrong. I was doing my job. My job was to tell him what to do or how to do it. And he took it the wrong way. That's not my fault. That's his fault.
All right, well, Paul, we're coming up on the end of our first hour and the end of this interview. One last question. Looking back on your career and all that, what is the one thing you would like everyone to remember Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff for?
I'll tell you something. What means a lot to me now is for you guys having me on your show. This is my legacy. You are helping me with my legacy. And because of you and doing new shows and everything like this, and I go and do autograph sessions, I go to hospitals with the kids and, you know, and stuff like that, that's in my heart. You know, that's not something I make up or anything. That's in my heart. I've always been that way. And I've always helped kids, and I've always given money to kids that give poor kids and poor families. I've done all that, not just poor, but people that needed it or needed something then at that point. And I've always done that with children. I love kids. I love kids. I've got a lot of grandkids. And I don't know. I get emotional when it comes to them. But when they're happy and they get a smile on their face or this or that or something you say to them or you shake their hand or you sign a picture for them, that just makes my day right there. I mean, that's what it's all about to me. And it is. It truly is. And it always was. Even back then, it was about the people that worked their butt off to make a living and that would pay $10, $15, $20 to get into the building to watch wrestling. And I just took a lot of pride in that, and it was the psychology behind it was, you know, I played with people's emotions, and they played with my emotions. So if I did something and they responded to it, then we both hit a home run. And I do. I thank the people for that. I really do. Because, you know, I got a home and everything now, and it's because of them. I could have been a flop, but I wasn't. And I'm proud of that. I take pride in myself. When I'm doing something, I take pride in it. I don't do it half-assed. I do it as best as I possibly can and know how. I do. And I've always had that attitude, and it's paid off for me.
All right, well, Paul, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight on ISW Radio. This has been a wonderful interview, and I know I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you in Fort Worth, Texas in September when you return to the Metroplex and we induct you into the Southern Wrestling Hall of Fame and the fans get a chance to come and see Mr. Wonderful. But
you got it. That's September. Yeah, September 16th through the 18th, isn't it? Right?
That's right. Yep.
I want everybody to come. Bring your kids, bring your wives, bring your girls, bring everybody, because it's going to be a blast. I promise you.
All right, Paul, thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll have you on again as it gets closer to September 17th. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I take a lot of pride in that, and thank you all very, very much. I do mean that.
Thank you, Paul. Indeed, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a wonderful evening.
Are you done?
We're all done.
Okay. Well, listen, if you need me to do anything else now, just holler at me, okay?
I will be in touch, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
All right, everyone, that was Mr. Wonderful himself, Paul Orndorff, NWA Hall of Famer, WWE Hall of Famer, CAC honoree, and upcoming Southern Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee. It was a definite pleasure to have him on tonight's episode. You know, Joe, to have someone like Mr. Wonderful actually say that we're part of continuing his legacy, that's something right there. He talked about being emotional. I'm a little emotional myself.
Dang, you're not kidding.
I am too.
That
that is a big, I'm just, my it's kind of like I'm feeling like Wile E. Coyote right now, right when I almost catch the Roadrunner and the Roadrunner goes beep, beep and gone, and then my jaw hits the ground, bong. Right now, I'm trying to pick up my jaw right now. I mean, we've had interviews and we've had conversations, but this was all of the above, guys. I mean, this was just so flipping awesome. And, you know, touch base on, you know, I mean, on a personal note, touch base on, you know, with my brother. And, you know, we talked extensively about that Kaufar Alley, and he remembered that. And because, I mean, and I say that because, I mean, there's so many hundreds of thousands and millions of people that go up and talk to him and they share a story and that type of thing. And that's cool. And his career, very, very illustrious. I mean, you know, being trained by, you know, Graham and Matsuda, and then, you know, going on the TBS and then New York and all points in between. Very, very sincere, kind gentleman.
Definitely. This is going to, like I told you, Joe, this is going to go down as one of our best interviews. Brian, I do apologize for the little bit of error that was obviously happening between you and Mr. Wonderful, but, you know, I think it kind of just goes with the territory. You know, a few concussions to the head, and, you know, things kind of happen.
Oh, yeah. And, well, basically, he did kind of answer it anyway. Because, yeah, passion. I mean, you heard that emotion. Said those are two top words you heard from him. Yeah, he certainly had it. Great technician in the ring, great body. I think at one time, believe it or not, some people were beginning to think that he was actually dead, that they didn't know where he was. Then all of a sudden, he just appears out of nowhere. Because he was with UWF for Herb Abrams, and then in that period, 1990, 1991, 1992, 93, we don't know where he ended up. And then all of a sudden, he shows up in WCW. And, yeah, I loved his work. Winning the WCW World Television Championship, he won the tournament, if I recall, in March of 93. And, yeah, just had a great run. So, yeah, incredible. Yeah, he's been through a lot. True survivor. You could tell he has a passion in his voice. You could tell that, without a doubt. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you heard last week, you heard the other original Mr. Wonderful. And, of course, we can't say enough good words about Rock Riddle. But we're very emotional, too, with this gentleman. Because, yeah, I'm just getting a little teary-eyed myself. You know, humbling to talk to these legends like Lance Russell and Mr. Wrestling number 2 last year. That, yeah, and to say that we're helping out their legacy, we're continuing it. And that really means something to me right there, too. So, yeah, pretty powerful.
Well, let's face it, guys, we've had 2 weeks of Wonderful, so it doesn't get any better than that.
Yep.
Let's see if we can make a trifecta. Let's go into our third week of Wonderful next week. But actually, next week our guest is going to be Dr. Michael Anderson will be joining us with the Canvas Cavity, and his guest is going to be none other than Big Bill Anderson. So I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful interview with Bill because, you know, Bill's always entertaining when he's on our show. So,
well, with Bill, I can safely say this won't be an interview. This will be like a bull session at the counter. I mean, you know, we've talked to him extensively for many, many years, and, you know, personally and professionally. So, it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Bill is a wonderful guy. Hopefully, he's feeling better. He's been having health issues lately, so hopefully, he will be well enough to be interviewed for next week. So, yeah, big shout out to Bill. We want you nice and healthy for next week and in the months and years to come, of course.
No, it's funny you mentioned next week because I want to kind of apologize for my whereabouts last Wednesday. You know, Mike made the announcement that I escaped the walls of Camp Sousa, which I did. Besides, you know, promoting and co-hosting the podcast and a few other things in between, I also happen to have a Monday through Friday shoot job, and I work at Medford Community Hospital here in Arcata. And I didn't say where I live, that's where I work. So there's a difference here, people, so don't try to find me yet. Every year they have a employee recognition ceremony for people that have been there 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and so forth. This year is my 28th year working as a patient cook at Medevir Hospital. And what's nice is after 20 years, you're invited to go every single year. I guess you earned it, per se. And so, and the cool thing is, for those people that have been there 20 years and longer, their name is in a bucket, and the person that pulls the name out gets $500 in cash. Well, you know, haven't quite gotten the 500 yet, but, yeah, there's always next year. But, you know, the food is good, the camaraderie was awesome, and it was one of those, you know, nice moments. And that was where I was last Wednesday. Now, the tease about last Saturday, I went on a road trip. My brother Raymond and his daughter, my niece Natalie, and my wife Arlene, Mrs. Joe, we went to the Moda Center up in Portland to take in NXT's Portland Pandemonium. And I have to tell you, this was probably one of the – it's really cool to go as a fan, you know, for once. But this was probably one of the best shows I've attended in a long, long time. And that's, for me, that's huge, because normally I go and it's like, you know, they go, you know, it's all right, whatever. But from top to bottom, I mean, the card was solid, and the fan participation, you know, it's one of the reasons why I enjoy house shows is, whether it be, you know, WCW, WWE, or in this case, NXT, the fans were involved, the talent made sure they were involved, and they were enthralled by it all. I mean, every match, very good, very solid. And I happen to have the results right here by request of you, Michael, because, you know, you saw the poster I put up on Facebook, and you pretty much told me that your jaw hit the ground as well. I was like, yeah, it was a solid card. No Way Jose, he beat Blake. Tucker Knight defeated Tino Sabatelli. And if I get these names messed up, bear with me, or one of y'all correct me on this one. And Nakamura, that was one of the big reasons why I wanted to go. And he got the loudest pop of the night, especially when we're sitting fourth row to the ring. My God, it was awesome to do that. And Arlene, she took some awesome pictures. He defeated Samson. Austin Aries defeated Mojo Rawley. Bailey defeated Mia Jax. The American Alpha, they defeated the Revival. And in the ladies' title match, the IXT ladies' title match, Azuka defeated Alexa Bliss. And yep. what you were asking me about, Michael, yesterday, on how Samoa Joe defeated Finn Balor. And like I said, very solid match. The finish came with the old Ric Flair finish. Balor was rolled up, and Joe decided to grab a handful of trunks, pulled them up, Ric Flair finish, woo! You know, crowd, you know, count, ref count, 1, 2, 3, that was it. And then after that, the brawl ensued, where they just brawled all over the ring, outside the ring, the entire dressing room came out. They tried to pull them apart for like 5 minutes, so yeah, like that was going to happen. WWE NXT released that on Facebook. I shared it. And it was crazy. And that was where, when Mike, you brought to my attention that their rematch is going to be in a steel cage. So that might shed some light on why the steel cage.
Well, I knew I had seen the video, so I had seen what had happened I think I saw what happened after the main event before I saw anything that you had actually posted. But what amazes me about this, and like you said, we went through that card, it's a stacked card. NXT isn't doing, like, a house show. Like, you know, you go to a WWE house show and you'll have your one big match. And then the rest of your match is, like, you know, the D-list or the C-list. They might throw in one mid-level guy. And then you might have, like, a couple guys that are doing – that are just first making their appearances. Obviously, Joe, you and I, we went to house shows in Reading. And a gentleman – you know, when Mr. Kennedy was first starting, he was there, but nobody had known who he was yet. CM Punk was at a house show in there because nobody really knew who they were yet. They hadn't made their WWE, and that's kind of what a WWE house show is. It's a chance for new talent to kind of you know, work in the ring and get a chance before they move on to TV. They throw in, like, a B match, and then they throw in an A-list match. Usually your main event, it's usually either a world title or an intercontinental title.
Well,
maybe
you know,
a special
really
appearance
funny.
By someone.
You know, it's really funny you mentioned that, that house show in Reading. You know who popped the loudest for Punk was us. Everyone just kind of like...
Well, we knew who he was.
Oh, of course. And now, up in Portland, it was a lot of fun. I posted this on Facebook. It was raining, and I happened to have my jacket, which happens to be a Golden State Warriors jacket. And I figured, what the hey? So I put it on, stood in front of the Motor Center logo with the Rip City banner, and, hey, take a picture of this. And so took a picture, and I posted it. And because I put those three words, Golden State Warriors, it went straight to the Warrior Facebook page. So that was pretty, you know, that was pretty humorous. But also catching up with people that I haven't worked with in years. Jonas Albert Robinson, saw him. Garrett Fatigue, a.k.a. G-Shock, was there. So was the Northwest champion, Buddy Highway, a few others. It was really cool to, you know, get with them again and talk and chat and have a hey-o time. And one of the things I normally do is I'll go to the gimmick tables there just to look because, you know, let's face it, a lot of stuff is outrageously pricey or you could get it, you know, on their website or what have you. But I found an item that got my attention, and it was the event poster. And it's a very thick cardboard, a very thick paper stock. And they had two types. They had one, the poster sold for $20, and the other one for $50. And when I looked up again, the guy took that sign down, and I just kind of like, I sighed, but then again, maybe, hey, it's a good thing I didn't do this. So we proceeded to walk up the ways around the deal in the Motor Center, and we found another gimmick table where they had the same item for $50. And I'm standing there looking, and then Arlene and Raymond, they go, well, what are you going to do? I mean, this is a one-time shot. So I went in and did it, which basically, I'm letting the cow out of the bag, it's the event poster signed by the entire card. Everybody that wrestled that night autographed it, you know, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Nakamura, everybody. So I figured this was the one-time opportunity. So to answer your question, Mike, from a few days ago, no arm or leg was given on this one.
I had to make that comment. When I saw that poster, I was like, oh, boy. So, yeah, my comment was, you know, did you give them the arm or the leg? So, because sometimes
yeah.
The WWE events, those things can be just a little bit pricey. But this
well,
is NXT, like I said. They're kind of a different animal.
I've talked about this with other folks, and it's pretty much the general consensus. The WWE universe... They don't like NXT, and there's two types of fans. There's the WWE universe, if you will, and then there's wrestling fans that watch NXT, and that might be the take. Now, if they were to do the same thing for Raw or SmackDown, to have a poster with all those autographs, I would assume it would be at least $75 heading towards triple digits, I would think, because it's what it is. But with all that awesome talent that was there Saturday night, I mean, you'd be a fool not to try to get that poster that's autographed by everybody. I mean, it was cool. I mean, that's going in the frame. I'm proud of it.
Well, that's one thing about NXT, too. I mean, obviously, it was Florida Championship Wrestling. NXT, they basically were supposed to be the feeder or the training federation for the up-and-coming kind of like what OVW was. OVW was where John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, just the names. That's where they got their start. That's kind of technically what NXT was supposed to be. But it's kind of taken on a life of its own to where there are guys that would rather stay on NXT because obviously, you know, for example, Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze had a good run in NXT. They liked him. They brought him up. Unfortunately now, Tyler Breeze is kind of floundering. I believe now he's teaming with Fandango. So, I mean, hey, but, you know, whatever floats your boat. He's on the big show. Everybody wants to be on the main roster. Everybody wants to go up to WWE because that's where, obviously, the money is. But they don't always click. You know, another example, Enzo Amore and Big Cass. And by the way, I have heard news, Enzo Amore is recovering nicely and should be returning soon. So very happy to hear that. But they came up from NXT, but they clicked. The fans popped for it. They clicked. Big Cass is still having his run now. So NXT is basically almost its own federation. And when WWE brings somebody up to the main roster, it's almost like they're kind of cherry-picking another federation because it's almost two separate groups. The fan base is different. The same people who go to WrestleMania, they went to NXT TakeOver Dallas, yes. But I know of some people that just went to NXT TakeOver Dallas. And NXT TakeOver Dallas, if you look at the card, was similar to the card that Joe saw in Portland, the Portland Pandemonium. Yes, they had a few of the, you know, No Way Jose. I don't know much about No Way Jose, but I've heard a little bit about it. So there are a couple of those matches where you still have the guys that are up and coming and kind of getting a chance to work in the ring. But the rest of the card is almost the same as what you're going to see on the network on an NXT TakeOver special. And I think that's kind of cool that NXT is able to now go around and do that and bring such action to the fans. And now as a result of what happened on this tour with Samoa Joe and Finn Balor, yes, the next NXT TakeOver special, which I believe is next week, it's coming up, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, for the title, inside of a steel cage. That way they can't escape. They're not going to have this issue of what they've that's been going on. And this is at a house show. When is the last time you've seen something happen at a house show that affected what was going to happen on TV in the WWE? Very rarely, because if it didn't happen on TV, it didn't happen. That's the WWE mentality. NXT seems to be going a different direction, and I really enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're not insulting the fans' intelligence. Now, because you made the comment that NXT is becoming its own animal, which it is. I mean, case in point, look at Nakamura and Samoa Joe and Inosuke. When Nakamura was signed, that was a huge, huge deal. It got lots of press. So it's not like, well, you know, this up-and-comer is coming to NXT. No. And supposedly, you know, a lot of the big megastars are coming in to learn to wrestle the WWE way or what have you. But maybe then again, you know, why do you want someone to wrestle the WWE way, which they were such an iconic figure in New Japan? So, or elsewhere, you know, in case, you know, like, say, Joe and Nakamura and a few of the others. So, like I said, from beginning to end, I had a wonderful time. It was, you know, very, very solid. Everybody popped for everything. They worked really hard. No Way Jose worked really hard. The crowd was just it was really good. Now the Moda Center, it was inside the building where the Trailblazers play, but I'd say about maybe 80 or 85% of the building was curtained or roped off because NXT is supposed to be, you know, small, intimate type of thing, except for the takeover, like, for example, in Brooklyn. You know, that was just crazy. Now, I don't know about Dallas. If they ran a small venue or they ran in the big building, I don't know anything about that. But I mean, it was cool. And I will go on record that if they ever come back out to the West Coast, I mean, I'm not talking L.A. because I ain't going to drive no 14 hours. Forget that nonsense. But, I mean, if they were to be in the Bay Area or up in Portland, I would go again. I would go again.
Now, Joe, we've seen Nakamura. We watched him on the New Japan pay-per-view that we last year. And then, of course, we've seen him. I've seen him in NXT TakeOver when he wrestled Sami Zayn. And Asuka as well. She's absolutely amazing in the ring, too. Does Nakamura, being there, you've seen him live now, is it just as amazing to see him in person as what is... Because on TV, you know, they add the lights, you know, you have your cameras on. But I would think Nakamura is one of those that's just as fluid live that is what you see on TV.
Okay, how can I put this eloquently? And don't ask me to repeat that word again. After that, after that particular match with Nakamura, I would say everybody in the building wanted a cigarette because everybody got satisfied.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's putting eloquently, I guess. There, I said the word for you.
Thank you. But, yeah, after that was done, I was wore out. We were done. And, yeah, and not very often, Arlene, you know, I mean, she had a good time. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, she, you know, like I say, you know, she, you know, she, you know, we watched, you know, New Japan every Friday on Access, especially when Nakamura was there. And when he came out, she was hooting and hollering, having a good time. She was taking awesome pictures, and, you know, those pictures, you know, they're on Facebook. I can't say enough good things about that show. It was so well done.
Well, I definitely can say that NXT has made a fan out of Joe. And the NXT TakeOver special coming up, Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe in a steel cage. I've watched all the TakeOver specials, and I'm sure I will watch this one as well. And, you know, these are some of the names. I'm sure eventually you're going to see Nakamura in a WWE ring. We're going to see him on Monday Night Raw. With a guy like him and a talent like that, it's inevitable. And I don't think the fans are going to, you know, poo-poo on him. I think he's one of those that's going to come in and he's going to click, and I'm just hoping that they don't do something stupid and try to make him like the next Kai and Tai. But that's just me saying.
I am so glad you said that. Because normally when some make the jump from either OVW or NXT to WWE, it just goes like a fart in church, and it's not because of the talent, him or herself. It's what, and I'm not going to say, but it was what creative or whatever they do. And if that be the case, then Nakamura needs to stay in NXT, if that be the case, because his talent would be outrageously wasted. Even though he's getting a good paycheck, don't get me wrong, you know, I got that. But, you know, it would be such a waste of talent for them to put him in a different direction, dare I say, something stupid, which I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, case in point, Brian, you and I talked about this last week. Adam Rose in NXT was Leo Kruger, and his character over there was it was a different gimmick. It was a mercenary gimmick. It was very over. The fans responded to it. But WWE took him. Did they bring him up as that? No, they brought him in, repackaged him, gave him a bunch of people, called him Rosebuds. And he became Adam Rose, and, well, Adam Rose went over, like Joe said, the proverbial fart in church. So, you know, we have seen it happen before. In the case of Tyler Breeze, the gimmick he's doing now was the gimmick he was doing in NXT. I think in his case, it's more like the little fish in a big pond type thing for him. So, nothing against
right.
the talent. I'm not an expert. I enjoy Tyler Breeze in the ring, but I just don't. I think he's kind of swimming in a big pond, and he's just not able to keep it up. That's my opinion.
Well, it just kind of goes back to the two different type of crowds. You have the universe, and you have the wrestling fans with NXT. The NXT fan, they got it. WWE universe, fan, participant, whatever, the light's on, but nobody's home.
All right, well, Brian, we're going to go from NXT to a little history. Like that segue? Brian,
yeah,
what do you got for
good.
Us this
good,
week?
Michael.
We're going to focus on May 18th and May 17th. Today is the 14th anniversary of the death of the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. So, yeah, pretty sad day. Davey Boy Smith, incredible talent, especially with the Dynamite Kid of the British Bulldogs, and spent some time in New Japan Pro Wrestling and in Stampede before going to the World Wrestling Federation. Having some great matches there, especially winning the Intercontinental Championship for Bret Hart at SummerSlam 92. And then, of course, going to WCW for a little while. And, yes, unfortunately, as drug issues became a problem, then his marriage with Diana was falling apart and just died as a result of a heart attack, I believe. But, yeah, definitely missed, for sure. It was 36 years ago today. Mount St. Helens erupted on Sunday, May 18th, 1980, killed 57 people. It caused, and keep in mind, this is 2015 dollars. It did about $3 billion worth of damage. But there is one pro wrestling story out of that horrible day. horrible eruption, and there was a series of little eruptions that were coming afterwards. But and Roddy Piper tells the story in his autobiography, but Rick Martel just got a new car, and I think it was like a Pontiac Trans Am, Firebird, something like that. But anyway, they're going down the freeway, and all of a sudden, this horrible event happens with Mount St. Helens going off. And the way the sky was looking, and some chaos going on. And needless to say, I think Martel's car was pretty much totaled. But Martel Piper survived. Yeah, they were fine. But still, one crazy day for sure. But we go to May 17th. May 17th, there was quite a bit of stuff going on. 24 years ago, we're going to May 17th, 1992. At the Jacksonville Memorial Coliseum, Jacksonville, Florida, 6,000 people attendance. WCW's Wrestle War, the War Games, one of the bloodiest War Games in history, too. Sting, Barry Windham, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, and Nikita Koloff defeated the Dangerous Alliance. Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, Larry Zbysko, and, of course, Paulie Dangerous, Lady Medusa were there. The late Brian Pillman beat Tom Zink, retained the WCW World Light Heavyweight Championship. Rick and Scott Steiner beat Katsumi Fujinami and Takayuki Iizuka, became number one contenders for the New Japan Pro Wrestling IWGP Tag Team Championship. Big Josh, the late Matt Bourne, defeated Ricky Morton. The Super Invader, the late Hercules, defeated Todd Champion. Ron Simmons beat Mr. Hughes. Scotty Flamingo, before he became Raven, beat Marcus Alexander Bagwell. Johnny B. Badd beat Tracy Smothers. The Fabulous Freebirds, Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes, beat Terry Taylor and Greg the Hammer Valentine to win the WCW United States Tag Team Championship. The Dark Match was Diamond Dallas Page and Wildfire Tommy Rich beating Firebreaker Chip and Bob Cook. Then we go to 23 years ago, May 17th, 1993, in New York, New York. And this would be the Manhattan Center. That time, Monday Night Raw was being hosted there. Marty Jannetty beat Shawn Michaels, won the World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. And it was a short title reign, but yeah, big upset. And I think Kurt Hennig might have had something to do with that, too, getting involved with that. 53 years ago, we're going to May 17th, 1963, Madison Square Garden, New York City. Bruno Sammartino beat Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, won the Worldwide Wrestling Federation World Heavyweight Championship. The match didn't last very long, less than a minute. But it led to a long, long title reign for Sammartino. And he was the man for the territory at that time. And so a lot of history there. We go to 30 years ago, May 17th, 1986, Hammond, Indiana. The late Playboy Buddy Rose and Pretty Boy Doug Summers beat the late Kurt Hennig and Scott Hall to win the American Wrestling Association, AWA, World Tag Team Championship. So, great bit of history there. Buddy Rose and Doug Summers, of course, they would go on to have some tremendous feud with, at that time, the Midnight Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Great matches, great feud over the AWA World Tag Team Championship. So a lot happened for May 17th and May 18th. Oh, yeah, May 19th, we'll mention this now. Tomorrow, it will be 25 years, Super Brawl 1, that pay-per-view. In St. Petersburg, Florida, the main event, Ric Flair beating Katsumi Fujinami. So Flair kind of regained the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, basically retained the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Long story there, but take my word for it. Other matches, Bobby Eaton beating Arn Anderson to win the WCW World Television Championship. You had a Cape Fist match, Barry Windham beating the late Brian Pillman. Oh, yeah, and you had a great match between Rick and Scott Steiner beating Sting and Lex Luger. And that was over the WCW World Tag Team Championship. Now, the finish was Nikita Koloff coming out with a chain and inadvertently hitting Sting, which led to the finish and of course, led to with that feud. And I believe El Gigante beat Sid Vicious with a stretcher match. Of course, Sid Vicious was on his way out going to WWE. So, needless to say, that's what I can the WCW United States Tag Team Championship. That's what I was trying to remember. There was a tournament for WCW United States Tag Team Championship, and the Freebirds won that one with the help of Bad Street, and that was Brad Armstrong under a mask. And they beat Tracy Smothers and Steve Armstrong. Now, back then, Armstrong and Smothers, they were known as the Young Pistols, because back then, they were known as the Wildland Southern Boys. I figured, well, they should have just stuck them with the Southern Boys instead of the Young Pistols, you know, put cowboy hats, toy pistols, and cowboy boots on them. Just didn't make any sense. Again, this is WCW we're talking about here. But that's just, so yeah, a lot going on for 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Yeah, you're not kidding, Brian. Real quick, Firebreaker Chip, WCW star. That was Curtis Thompson, former Pacific mm-hmm. Northwest champion up
yep.
in Portland. Very, very talented young man. But, you know, with Davey Boy Smith, I encourage anyone that either has access to YouTube or break out those old VHS video cassettes, and especially from Japan, and check out Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy taking on each other at Budokan Hall. Crazy matches they had. And especially when they teamed up as well. I mean, they had a very intense feud, you know, in Japan. I mean, not only up in Canada, and then they teamed up in New York and that type of thing. But really good, good stuff. Good stuff.
I'd also like
definitely.
To throw in here, since we're talking a little bit of history, this weekend, May 20th and 21st, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame Induction Awards are happening. Just going to do a quick rundown here on the list of the inductees for this weekend. This right here is a lot of history. In the Pioneer Era division, Joe Pazandak is going in. Earl McCready. Tag team division, the Blackjacks, Mulligan, and Lanza. Of course, we did just recently lose Blackjack Mulligan. So, but they're going to. In the colleague division, Mean Gene Okerlund, who we all had a chance to meet at a Call for Rally Club. And if you watch an upcoming edition of IWTV, you will see my interview with Mean Gene himself live from Las Vegas. So just a little plug there, people. In the television era, Hans Schmidt. That's from 1943 to 1984. Television era, Greg the Hammer Valentine. Ladies division, Leilani Kai. International division, Peter Maivia. Modern era, 1985 to present, Sergeant Slaughter. Steve Austin. And that is the inductees for this year's class of 2016 in the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. Friday night, they will also be hosting a Wrestling Under the Stars. Old School Wrestling will be presenting that card. Matt Riviera and Greg Anthony, I believe, are on that card. Is that correct, Brian?
Correct. They're going against one-on-one against each other for the Greg Anthony's NWA National Heavyweight Championship. And I got a somebody posted a promo by Matt Riviera on my Facebook page, so I'll have to check that out. So, yeah, I'm going, well, gee, trying to flip a coin. It's like, who do I pick here? Because, yeah, outside a ring, of course, I've met both of them through CAC. Yeah, great, great guys. And, yeah, that's going to be a real good, good match. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top in that one.
Hey, Michael, in that first era you mentioned, Joe, that started with the
Pazandak.
Oh, Joe Pazandak. Okay. I was
Pazandak.
Thinking, what?
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. The reason that name rang, that name kicked in my head is because I've got some footage of him in a tag team match with Mr. Moto against Freddie Blassie and Warren Bockwinkle from the old Hollywood Legion Stadium. This was like a earlier mid-50s with Jewel Strongbow promoting. So that's when he said, and I go, okay, that name rings a bell, because he actually was one of the first, I believe, that did the beat the champ gimmick. You know, if you can beat me in so many minutes or whatever, which hardly happened. Very, very, very solid defensive wrestler.
Well, we'll just kind of add that, Joe, to our list tonight, because, let's see, You couldn't say eloquent more than once. David had a problem with distributor, and it's Pazendak is the name?
Yes.
Okay. So those are three names. Those are three words, folks, right there. We just have not. We've had a little difficulty with tonight, so we'll just kind of add that to our list.
We will improve next Wednesday. We promise.
We hope. Anyways, congratulations to all of the inductees, and I hope everyone has a wonderful time at the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction this weekend. I hope to attend next year, as I will only be just a couple hours away from the Hall of Fame. So instead of having to do the Vegas thing where you got to, you know, do a six-hour drive to an airport and then an hour and a half wait at the airport and then an hour flight and all that, where you have to make a whole wagon train out of it, I can do this in like a day trip. So I'm hoping to be there next year to witness. I will definitely be going to the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame because, damn it, for a wrestling fan, that's Disneyland right there. So I might have to tell my wife, just drop me off and pick me up in a couple of days. So. And I get dead air. Gotcha.
we were letting you go. We were weren't too sure. We were just letting you go, Michael.
There you go. Anyways, yes, Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Big Blue in Wichita Falls, Texas. Cowboy Johnny Mantell brought it to Wichita Falls. He is the president of the Hall of Fame. And I'm still working on getting him on as a guest, but obviously with everything he's doing with the Hall of Fame, Johnny is a busy man. But I'm hoping next month before our final episode on June 29th, we will get him on as a guest. So if not then we will have him on late August or so when we bring back the new edition of what was ICW Radio. On that note, though, guys, an amazing interview with Mr. Wonderful. Joe, you got the chance to see, in my opinion, an absolutely amazing house show. Not even really a house show. That was like just an NXT event. So, but
yeah.
I think we've had a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode, and I think at this point in time we can wrap it up for this week. So, folks, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/EncyclopediaWorldClass. You can find me on Twitter at MichaelMC1972 or on Instagram at McCurdy1972. Joe, if anybody out there wants to be your friend and wants to be a social media butterfly, how can they find you?
Well, if anybody wants to send me a friend request, just find me, just go to Facebook, just find Joe Sousa, JoeSousa. There's a couple of pictures of me with three of my beautiful kids, Mike, Jessica, and Patty, as well as me greeting fans from Rumble in the Redwoods. But if you send me a friend request, send me a little message as well. I've gotten a couple of friend requests, and I just kind of looked at them, and it just looked like something generic, and so I just kind of put the kibosh on that. If it's wrestling-related, anything you want to talk about wrestling-wise, what have you, throw a little message in there. Kind of send me a little feeler out there so it'll my antennas will perch up and get the right reception, if that makes any sense. Brian, where can they find you?
You can find yours truly, Brian, Westcott, Brian Westcott, on Facebook. And the Pro Wrestling website, www.brianrich.net/russell.html. And really quick, happy 20th anniversary to Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling. They'll have their big show on Saturday, May 21st. Also, yes, happy birthday, Daddy. My father turned 76 years old Saturday.
Oh, nice. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the ECCW anniversary event, one of the many special guests that will be attending, I believe, will be an old friend of ours, Dr. Luther.
Yeah.
That's right, Joe. Dr. Luther will make his return to ECCW for their 20th anniversary show this weekend. So congratulations to all the guys out there. Joe and I have had a chance to meet and work with a lot of those guys. They are an amazing crew, and there's another guest we need to try to get. Maybe I should try to see if I can get Dr. Luther for June, too. He just recently did an interview on Talk is Jericho. So, once again, always entertaining. Dr. Luther was a character, so I was very happy to see that he's going to be part of the ECCW show. And also, before I forget, because, well, he might call me and yell at me later, like to say happy birthday to Matt Riviera. That's right, Mr. 5.5, celebrating his birthday today as well. So.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. Happy birthday to Matt.
Yeah.
I already sent him a personal Facebook message. Super nice guy, regardless of what you think of him in the ring. You know, he's
yep.
worked both sides of the fence, good guy and bad guy. But, you know, in our book, he's a good guy.
Yep.
All right, well, Matt, real quick, and I'm going to do this on the fly. This is for you, buddy, just for a second.
Congratulations and celebrations.
Go, shorty, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to sip a coffee.
All right, there we go. Folks, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/IHWE Radio. Or on Twitter at ISW Radio. Send us your guest requests. Send us your questions. Folks, you heard it right here. One of your questions got asked to the one and only Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So there you go. I do follow the Facebook. I will ask your questions if you send them to me. Or you can join us every week right here on ISWE Professional Wrestling Radio. Thank you, folks. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Talk to you next week.
So long, everyone.